But first, let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Onanta Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. Hi, Onanta. Welcome back.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I wish I was on an Alaskan cruise, though.
Oh, it was such an experience and such a joy to experience our ship as well as the destination. I must do a cruise.
Well, we're going to get some tips from you if I do want to plan my own Alaska cruise. But first, let's just finish up, because last time we talked to you, you were just about to dock in Ketchikan, or I used to call it Ketchikold, because
yes.
It rains a lot there. But I ended up in Victoria. So let's hear the last couple days and how your experience was.
Yes. So Ketchikan is one of the prettiest towns along the Inside Passage. It's surrounded by dense tongrass forest, and it is overlooked by sometimes the snow-capped Deer Mountain, and it's famous for its abundant salmon, as well as an impressive collection of Northwest totem poles and colorful houses along Creek Street. It's quite interesting, Creek Street. It's perched on still, the houses, and over the Ketchikan Creek, and it's quite the icon of the town. The town itself, Ketchikan, was developed as a cannery in the late 19th century, and then by the early 1920s, Creek Street was a den of bars and brothels, and one of the most famous ones is Dolly's House Museum. Mm-hmm. It was quite interesting, and there's lots of independent galleries and craft shops. So it was a very fun street, very colorful too. And I do encourage people to explore and experience an easy walk from the ship. And then also what you can enjoy is their collection of totem poles. And you can see them at Saxman Totem Park. The Totem Bight State Park and Potlatch Park. So they're all over, as well as at the Heritage Center. You can see some really old exhibits from abandoned native villages. So very interesting, and such a story that they tell, and they represent anything from a significant event to a person, an animal, or a spirit. And the salmon are rampant in Ketchikan. They're like flipping up the creek, and and there are just so many of them. You're quite surprised. We went to a cannery or a fish hatchery, and it was quite amazing the number of salmons and how they just have that instinct to move upstream. So it was quite interesting to see. And then we spent a day back cruising to Victoria the next day after Ketchikan. And that's when we saw the most marine life, humpback whales, sunfish, two series of jumping dolphins, hundreds of them in two different times. And they were kind of racing the ship along.
Yes, yes.
So it was like, wow, like you're almost like a kid again. You're so excited to see this. And so if you're a first-time cruiser or visitor to Victoria, whether by cruise or land or a repeat, there is so much to see in Victoria. I think I posted on one of my Facebook pages that it just does not disappoint visiting Victoria. Easy shuttle ride from the ship to the town, or the main part of the town, or city, I should actually say. And then, or you could walk. It's a nice stroll. You get to go see, go through James Bay. So very pretty, amazing houses. You know, one of the things you could do is go have tea at the Empress.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing, iconic hotel. And tea is very popular here. You can have finger sandwiches and pedophores. It's a very quaint tradition. can also go to see Bouchard Gardens, which is gorgeous. All, you know, like such a treat to go and see all the flowers and the way they just take care of the plants there. I guess it's tended by over 50 full-time gardeners. And then there's like a you can go to Fisherman's Wharf. That's a small collection of floating waterfront food kiosks and shops. There you can find some eco-tour adventure outfitters that are right there, as well as float homes. Now, the next day we sailed back into Vancouver, and we had quite a late flight, so we actually took advantage of Cunard. They had a farewell to Vancouver shore excursion.
Oh,
It
nice.
was a Yeah, it was nice. Like I haven't revisited Vancouver in a long time, and it was a great way to, you know, kill some time, but also see the highlights of Gastown, Stanley Park, Chinatown. So it was a nice way to end the cruise,
Nice.
with exploring Vancouver a bit.
So if I wanted to plan a cruise, give me some tips.
So first of all, I'd pick your season. The Alaska cruise season runs from May to October, so summer is short there, and every month brings a different experience. So May and June, for an example, the wildlife becomes active and the days are longer. And then, you know, the best time to travel is in late June because it's just before the busy peak season and it tends to be dry and sunny. July and August are the warmest, but just keep in mind that it's a very busy time frame. In different ports, we could see up to 4 to 5 ships, and they're not small ships. Like, as I mentioned when we were in Juneau, these ships are huge. Like, I'm sure they're up to 4,000 plus people per ship. So expect crowds. And October is the end of Alaska season, so it's cool, but it's a nice way to see the like the reds and the autumn colors while you're there, and I'll maybe even see like some dusting of snow in the mountains. So, and it's a good chance to see the northern lights in from across the dark sky from September, which is always a bonus on any journey.
Well, if you go later in the season too, if you're into shopping, the shops offer some incredible deals because they're going to be
Oh.
closing their doors through the winter.
Oh, that's a good tip. Also, you might want to add a land-based portion to your seaboard, and it's known as an Alaska cruise tour, and this shows the best of Alaska. And so, during the cruise part of it, you'll explore the Inside Passage and coastal towns of Southeast Alaska, where the land section might take you to like Denali National Park, and it's dominated by ice and granite mass of North America's tallest mountain. So kind of fun to do that. And there's advantages to doing a cruise route. So the round trip might take you from either Vancouver, Seattle, Ketchikan, and then to Ketchikan, Juneau, Skagway, and then Victoria. So it's a really nice exploration of Alaska and a portion of Canada as well. And so, or you could go one way from flying from Seward, and then back down to Anchorage to Vancouver. So a good way, either way, you're going to see great glaciers and scenery and the animals. So it's a good opportunity that way as well.
Yeah, if you want to get a go further north into Alaska, like up into Anchorage, then doing the cruise rail portion and then just fly back from Anchorage to Vancouver or Seattle or whatever, it's a really great option. Or do the reverse, start at Anchorage and then start with a rail tour and then cruise your way back. So there's lots of different options, right?
Right, absolutely. And I think one of the most important cruise tips you can find for Alaska is to book a balcony cabin. So wherever you are, you're going to have good views, and it's kind of neat to just come out of your room and onto your private balcony, whether it's in the morning or evening or just during the day. Because I have to say, for us, the weather was warm and very lovely, and there's days that we just kind of sat out on our balcony and we saw a wonderful opportunity where there was a whale that was just in front of us and just did a little flip for us. And it was like, oh, that was cool. I'm staying out here. And also just you can enjoy the peace and quiet of your time in port, and just kind of watching the activity as it goes along. And also on our ship, room service was complimentary. So it's also a nice way to enjoy a meal outside or snacks or just a glass of wine. And it's also quite educational being in Alaska. The park rangers come on board when you're visiting parks like Glacier Bay or Hubbard Glacier, and they provide really interesting information.
Well, it is true about having a balcony, and because you just never know, and it is true, you never know when a whale will just pop up out of the water. It just could happen right before your eyes on your own balcony. So it is kind of cool.
Yes, it is very cool. And then when we're in Alaska, I would definitely recommend that you pack for all climates. You can have really warm weather in July and August, but the weather can change in minutes. So you need base layers, like a couple of fleeces, a lightweight jacket. Hopefully it's waterproof, and gloves and some decent walking shoes. And the waterproof item is ideal for the time that you spend on deck. And then like if you book excursions like kayaking, it like all the necessary equipment will be provided, but make sure you bring like closed toe shoes, which are essential for like activities like zip lining. And you might even want to take a swimsuit. There were some days where people were in the hot tub or for just a little bit of a relaxation or just dive into the pool on board.
Fun.
Don't forget your binoculars for sure.
Yes.
It's a really it's amazing what you can see in the distance. Take advantage and like because Alaska is known for its magnificent wildlife. So you might see a bear foraging on the beach or snoozing. In the distance, you might see like a whale blow. And it's amazing. Like you don't think that's exciting, but you are excited when you see
Well, and there's
Yeah.
bald eagles everywhere too, so it's cool to
Yes.
use binoculars to get a close-up view of those. Lots of good tips, great advice. Glad you had a good time. You can follow Onanta's adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Onanta Forbes, and you can check out her website, onantaforbes.com. Always fun, Onanta. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.